time again that we can spend together in the study of thy word, not only increasing our knowledge, but as a result, setting up the potentiality for our spiritual advance as we utilize the principles that we learn. May God the Holy Spirit, therefore, be our teacher this evening, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. Remember, I'm the communicator. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher. This business with the IRS, by the way, is just another added move on the part of Big Brother. The latest now is that gun dealers will have to, where they pay $66 a year for their license, they're proposing a $600 license fee because that's going to cut back on crime. Now, you know, I try to be a logical human being. I really do, and I want to see the logic in most things. I had great difficulty while I was in the service because a lot of things in the service are just absolutely illogical. They don't make any sense. You just do it because you learn how to follow orders. But when it comes to government's decisions, I just can't quite get it, really. Even with that telescope, the billions that has been spent on that thing, and what is it going to afford us? What are we going to see that we need to see? Okay? I'm sorry, I'm all for technological advances and so on, but, and then there are these guys, do you know that there are people that are sitting right now in front of huge radio telescopes listening for any sounds of intelligible life? They do that on a 24-hour basis. They're constantly monitoring it. All the squiggles and the squeals and everything that's heard from outer space. And so what if they heard a voice? It's probably because they've been there too long. And you begin to hear voices after a while. Well, you see, when you think in that realm, you begin to enter into what I stressed last Tuesday night. And that is the fact that we do not have the viewpoint or the world's frame of reference. And therefore, we are really considered the odd ones. And if anything, they're the odd ones. And again, I'm all for advances in technology. I'm glad, for example, that I still don't have to sit down and get out 940 books to study one text. I can sit down on my computer and I can bring all that up, and the more advances we have, the faster they run, the more efficient they run. I'm amazed because I was looking at one of my hard drives today, and I says, oh, I only have 178 megs left. I mean, that's advance. Whereas I started with a 10 meg XT, and I thought, why would I ever need anything more than 10 million bytes of information? Then I went to 20, then I went to 40, then 80. Now, of course, I'm up around 500, and you can squander your megabytes at that point. And with a laser printer, why, you can just do whatever. You remember the notes I used to give you on that 9-pin Epson that I used to have? You could hardly see it. You know, I'd see some of you going, I think that's, what word is that? And then somebody suggested that I get a better printer, and I said, I can't afford it, and they were very gracious and supplied it to me. Then, of course, you, in your reflection of my 25 years as a congregation, decided that you would, you're going to benefit by it because you'll get better charts, more of them, and better notes when I hand them out. Well, you see, the thinking of the world is alien to the believer, and that too. And the more you begin to think doctrine, the more you begin to think categorically, the stranger you will appear to other people who have the frame of reference of the world. They're out generally for any type of hedonistic pleasure. Remember, hedonistic, not heathenistic. It could be heathenistic as well. The very fact that we have to have commercials now promoting condoms is indicative of the world's view I occasionally reflect back in the cinema of the 30s and the 40s, and no abusive language. The brutality, if you could see it, was only heard but not seen. And occasionally there'd be somebody who would hit somebody else. And you notice that even in those bar fights that the cowboys got in, they never lost their hat. So it couldn't have been that brutal. Never. Gene Autry would walk in and they'd start in, they'd fight for a half hour. They'd use balsa chairs and all kinds of light woods that would break up very easily, and he walked out of there with the same stupid hat on. Well, you see, that may be unrealistic, but that was Hollywood. That was the silver screen. That was the fantasy of sitting and watching it for 12 cents. Average movie back then. Well, now, of course, everything's got to be, quote, realistic, unquote. And it's not realistic. The sex scenes are not realistic. You don't really think that's the way it is. And if it's like that for you, well, fine. At least if you like that sort of thing. I don't like to see other people engaged in what is very private in my life. I don't like to watch, in that sense, if you remember that movie. So the world's view today is distorted, and it's winding down, as it were. And you see, that has crept into the church. And there are a lot of churches that are claiming to try to keep up with the times. Where does it say we have to keep up with the times? What times? The newspaper? The events that are around us? All the brutality? All of the murdering and the raping and all the rest that goes on? No. We just simply study the Word of God in advance on the basis of an age-old principle called Operation Z. Now, the pattern, of course, we found in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, where the Spirit Himself is our teacher. Again, I'm the communicator. I give you the words. That's my job. Now, I have to delineate those words clearly, and they have to be done oft times repetitively, because that's the way we learn. We hear it over and over and over and over. And frankly, I've learned over the years myself that the way I learn the easiest is by hearing something repeated again and again and again and again and again. Not only that, I like to be extremely thorough so that there'll be no misunderstanding, because in times past, quite frankly, I was guilty of knowing the doctrine I was teaching, and because I knew it, I assumed that if I communicated it once, everybody else should know it. And they didn't. And people would come to me and they'd say, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. And remember, the Holy Spirit can only use what is already a part of your biblical or spiritual frame of reference. He cannot use your natural frame of reference because it's unacceptable. It's non-applicable. It makes no sense. You see, the two areas are the difference between black and white, up and down. When the Lord says in His Word that my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways, there is the challenge of the believer to seek and to find what are His thoughts, what are His ways, not what our ways are that we're trying to twist and modify to fit into our pattern of life. And then say, because I use godly terms and quote scripture, that's acceptable. That's the average church today. And they make people feel good in their particular geographical as well as their environmental surroundings. That's not the job of the communicator. He is to teach the word regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the environment. I mean, think of Jody Brown. He's under what we'd consider maximum difficulty right now. First of all, he's got a language barrier. And then, if he's communicating and there's somebody translating for him, how does he know that the person is actually translating correctly? Like that society that I heard about years ago from a missionary, they went in and they were going to write for them, number one, a language. They didn't even have a written language. They had a spoken language, but they didn't have a written language. And there were certain words that are found in our language that were not found in their language at all. One of them, get this, was the word father. This particular tribe, in this particular area, had no word in their language for father. Because to them, pregnancy occurred when anyone engaged in sexual relationships with their mother. They understood mother. But father could be anyone of any man in the village or surrounding villages. And there was no responsibility whatever on the part of that father, the actual genetic father of that child. Well, of course, so now this missionary is trying to convey to this tribe, in the language that he had learned that they spoke, heavenly father who loves you and cares for you. What does that mean to them? Absolutely nothing. Well, I'm sure that if you come to any Bible class with your worldview attached to Cosmic 1 or Cosmic 2, you certainly are not going to get any of the application of the Word of God, because the two are diametrically opposed to each other. And it's not the one just simply complements or modifies the other. No, they're in diametric opposition to each other. It's like left and right. One's going in one direction. And that's why our Lord said, broad is the road that leads to destruction and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Why? Because your thinking becomes very narrow or funneled, as it were. Many years ago, someone said, well, you have tunnel vision in my thinking. And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, you're very narrow. I said, well, that's the Word. You know, the Word doesn't give you that opportunity to spread your wings over here and try it for a while. Now, grace gives you a tremendous amount of latitude in the Christian life, but it must all be what? Within that Christian life, as is led by the Spirit of God. For instance, there's nothing in the Word as to what you should wear. Tremendous latitude. You know, you can come in here in a barrel, a bathing suit. I don't care. Some of you wear those awful things that clop around. You know, that strap that goes between your big toe and your second toe. That's the only support you have, with the little rubber flappy things on the bottom. I can't wear those, first of all. Secondly, I despise them. But some of you are very comfortable in those, and I see you sometimes on Sunday morning, flop, 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 going around. That's great. It's not an issue. And I'm not going to say to you, that is not, oh, here's a term we're hearing now. It is not politically correct. Next we're going to hear, that is not ethically correct. That is not this correct. It is not environmentally correct. Who sets the standard of what's correct and what's incorrect? Are we going to get to the days of the judges where every man did that which is right in his own eyes? The standard set on the basis of what he thought was right? That's where we're getting. That's where we're going. That started with the 60s thought, do your own thing. God says, no, do my thing, my way. Those of you that have some military background, you understand what military protocol is all about. And you better stay within that rigid guideline. If you veer from military protocol, you'll find yourself in a world of hurt. You're on a parade ground, and you're all standing at attention. And you either are holding a weapon or whatever it is you're holding, and you're told to stand there. Well, with the average teenager today, the discipline that they have, well, they'll just decide it's too hot and they'll walk away. I saw guys dropping right next to me. Boom! You'd hear this drop. And you couldn't go, hey, what's wrong with you? Couldn't do that. Had to stand there rigid because you were told to stand at attention. And when the man said, at ease, then half the group fainted. The only thing that was holding them together was their military fortitude. But you see, that all has a design behind it. It's so that there can be correct procedure with regard to more important things. Now, standing on a parade ground at attention and falling over as a means of obedience is not the issue. It's being able to take a direct order when you're in the heat of battle, instead of throwing down your weapon and running like the French did. French, you know, are not noted for their great fighting abilities. Neither are the Italians, for that matter, if you have Italian background. They're good wine drinkers. They make phenomenal pasta and stay out of war. They love to sing. They love to dance. They love to party. That does not make for good warfare. You say, now, on the other hand, look at the ethnic background of the Germans. When they go to war, they don't stagger. They just march right over you. That's their background, you see. With Greeks, it's a little different. They sing while they're killing you. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our human spirit that we are members of the royal family. There's that assurity as well that we have, even though when we go through times of doubts, when we go through times of trial, when things are not going as beautiful as we would like them, if we allow the Spirit to speak. See, some of you want to hear that from human instrumentality. It doesn't work. I can come up to you and comfort you for hours, and you can turn right around and go out and shoot yourself. But when the Spirit from within speaks, when you've allowed Him to do so, oh, what comfort that is. And it is not an audible voice, but it's there nevertheless. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, for to us God has revealed the doctrines by means of His Holy Spirit. For the human spirit investigates all things, even the deep things of God. You see, the human spirit attempts to understand deep things. It desires to. Very few of us are really involved in superficialities. I don't like it, and I'm sure that most of you don't. You're not here because of that. You want to go to a superficial church, you go somewhere where there's a lot of emotional and maybe a band or two. I was just thinking the other day, actually last Sunday evening, my wife practiced on the organ, and we still can't figure out the settings, so we're going to borrow some of your ears and see if we can get this thing set up, because we don't have a book with it. And so I had it set up for one, and she says, and so I said, how about this? So we set it up, and I went in the back, and it sounded good back there, but it sounded bad up here. Now, when Brian was here, he sat down, he put all the stops up, and then he went, plop, 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 plop. Oh, gorgeous sound. But then somebody messed with it, or something happened, and it's no longer there, so we don't know how to do it. Well, you need some help. We need somebody who... And we want to know what the most we can get out of things, not the most superficial. But as she was playing, on the way home the next morning, I was thinking about this, about these churches that have these huge $3 million pipe organs. You know, and the person sits up there way up somewhere, you know, and they, you know, like Phantom of the Opera type thing, you know. Oh, that may be nice, but what would we do with that? We couldn't even fit it. You realize that the average pipe organ in the average church of any size would take up the entire room in this auditorium. And that's just the square footage. Then we need height. Some of those things are huge. I knew a guy, by the way, in our last church. This guy was weird. He had one in his basement. And he'd knock holes in the floor so he could put these big pipes in. And he'd sit there, and it didn't have a cabinet. It was just the console, which he had been putting together and hooking this thing up. And he'd sit there and play and just play away, you know, hair down and just going away. Guy was, he was. I think he'd heard too many pipes. The pipes were calling, I think, in his case. But we desire to know deeper things. Most of you are well educated. Why? Because you weren't satisfied with one and one is two. You weren't satisfied that you could spell cat. K-A-T. You went on to better and better things. Some of you are and good in your field, by the way, in electronics, in engineering, in manufacturing, and whatever. I mean, even the fact that you think, well, what is there involved in making a T-shirt or printing a T-shirt? A lot. The inks and the amount of heat that's used, and then to put it out as a product where you can make some money on it. In mass production, there's a lot of garbage out there. I find myself, when I see a printed shirt, first thing I do is I grab it and I start pulling on it to see if it'll crack. And invariably, it will. Best impressions doesn't. I get a commission, by the way, on all the shirts. No, I don't. Some of you have studied music. Some of you have studied architecture. And you're all, and it's terrific. I'm glad for it. Law. We have a man right now who's studying law enforcement. And we hope he survives. His wife told him not to come home if he failed. Some of you know electronics like the back of your hand. I'm still trying to figure out AC current. DC, I understand. AC just flips me. I just can't. I want to see positive and a ground. Yeah, I want it to go in one direction and one direction only. This business of going back and forth, that's just too much for me. The light bulbs really don't care, you understand, one way or the other. Fluorescents do. Electric motors do. Certain things don't care about DC or AC. Some of them say, got to have it. If I don't, I'm going to burn up. You watch me smoke. You know it's too young to do that. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. And this is where we left off. But we have not received the world's frame of reference, alluded to earlier. But the human spirit from the source of the Holy Spirit. You see, and the key is, what's in your human spirit? This is why gap is so important. Because see, here I'm standing up here, and I'm communicating logos three times a week, twice on Sundays, and whenever else I can. All right, that information can go directly into your human spirit. That sets up the whole program for your learning process. But it must come in there by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if it doesn't, then the human spirit just lies dormant. If we talk about how awful it will be for a believer to have received the potentiality of blessing throughout all of eternity and not have any, the worst scenario than that would be to have a human spirit and go through your entire Christian life and have it completely empty, with the possibility of a few minor little doctrines. And you know, there's one that is a major doctrine with regard to, and it's really a barrier that people have to resolve before they can grow. You know what that is? Verse 16 of chapter 8 of the book of Romans. For the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are royal family. Eternal security. So you say, are you suggesting that anyone that does not believe in eternal security has nothing in their human spirit? Exactly. Why? Because everything hinges on the fact that once saved, always saved. Now I can go on to greater things. That's the whole thrust of Hebrews 6. Forget the basics. Not forget that they exist, but forget the basics with regard to living your whole life in a basic realm. Again, alluding to the military, going back. I spent so many months in basics. Well, it was all preparatory. I didn't use 90% of what I was taught in basics, quite frankly. But if I ever had to use it, I knew how to do it. But it would have been awful if I'd have spent my entire 8 years in basics. I would have thought the military was trying to teach me something. In other words, you didn't get it yet. What's basics in education? Kindergarten. That's where it all starts. Which, by the way, is a German term. From kinder. And a little place where little kinders play. Well, you've heard of a beer garden. That's a kindergarten. But what is kindergarten? It's basic. They learn their letters. They learn their numbers. They learn how to combine letters into words. And they learn how eventually... And in our school, they're reading. And by the time they get to the first grade, why, they have a grand ability to read and comprehend. See, it's one thing to read, and it's another thing to comprehend what you're reading. The average kid today that graduates high school reads. He doesn't know what he's reading. The comprehensive scores of the average high school graduate is below third grade level in this country. Now, that's disgusting. That's no wonder people come in here and they say, I don't understand a thing he said. Well, you poor public school product. Some of you availed yourself of public school. I'm not downing it. I never went to a Christian school or a private school. But when I got out of high school, I was a clod. And absolutely, I graduated. And I would have with honors if I hadn't blown it my senior year. Say, why'd you blow it in your senior year? Why is it, by the way, that when you reach your senior year, you're going to quit school? I don't get it. Top 10 of the class, and I'm going to quit school. Now, I just let it go. I just slid down to the average Joe Blunk. You know, I was about 35 out of 100 and something. That was nice being that top 10. We were the elite. Walk around, yeah. Of course, it had to do with mechanics, you understand. It wasn't based on reading, writing, and arithmetic. It was based on aircraft mechanics. Because that's what I was. That's what I liked. That's what I enjoyed. Reading was for somebody else. Unless it had to do with some technical information regarding an airplane or an aircraft engine. Just that thing. Hours and hours and hours. Bore some of you half to death. The rest of you wouldn't bore you. You wouldn't even pick it up. But doctrine isn't boring. And it's our life. It's a matter of life and death. Salvation, matter of life and death. Doctrine, a matter of life after death. Think about that one. What's your human spirit look like? I have no idea. I know what mine looks like. You know why? Because there's a mirror in your soul. And that mirror reflects the amount of doctrine you have. And it conveys it back. And the Holy Spirit witnesses to you with that regard. You don't know what's going on in your soul, it's probably because nothing is going on in your soul. If you're wondering how much doctrine you have, if you don't know, you probably don't have any. You know, ever notice, by the way, that you never become disturbed about something you don't have? Not people like the people running around saying, I'm afraid I can lose my salvation. People who are... Oh, The only people that say that are saved people. Unbelievers never run around saying, I'm afraid to lose my salvation. Why? Because they don't have it. I've never been upset to lose something I don't own. I'm afraid, you know, I left the house tonight. I know I set the alarm, but I'm afraid somebody's going to steal my wife's 25-carat blue-white AAA diamond. What 25-carat blue-white? See? And my dog would sleep through the whole thing. I went into the shop the other day. That's where he sleeps. I went in the morning. I went in, opened the refrigerator, got something, closed it, went back in the house, still asleep. Snoring away. So sometimes I throw things at him. And then he'll jump up and he'll look around. First, where am I? Oh, I see you. And then, in the house. I tricked him today, by the way. I feel so good. I finally got one of those pills down his throat. I wrapped it up in some chicken. I gave him one piece without it. Gave him another piece without it. Gave him one piece with it. And just look, you know, like, is there more? And so the two of us looked at each other and we went, we got you. And his ears went up like, what? I think I told you the story about trying to give him this pill. He put it in his mouth and he's chewing on the part that I gave him that was good. The pill was on the other side and he went, he spit it out the side. Then he looks at it as if to say, what's this? This is not edible. This is not for human consumption. Don't ever tell a dog, by the way, that they're a dog. They don't know that. And cats obviously know they're not cats. They think they're a little lower than the angels. Mirror. That's what we learned during the conference. That's the chart I gave you. That's the condition of your soul. See, you know what the condition of your body is. You've probably looked at it at least once today, or maybe just one part of it. You may not like what you saw. You know, sometimes I get in front of the mirror and I go, I think I should be sick. I says, why? I said, I look sick. I don't feel sick, but look. Big dark circles under my eyes. I don't look like I've slept in months. I heard my wife calling to somebody today saying, do you have any of that skin cream? My face is going to break off. See, those of you that are still, what, teenagers and in your early 20s and 30s, come on, you still have that moisture, natural, all that, but wait. Wait till it's all depleted. And you can drive your car in the valleys of despair. Saw a great one tonight. This gal's putting the stuff under her eyes that was supposed to take away the puffiness and all the little wrinkles under her eyes. And there was something wrong with the video projector. In other words, wherever they were projecting from, the video was bad. And so they said, instantly, you can look like this. And she turned blue. It was perfect. Timing was perfect. Just blue, completely blue. She looked like a Nerf. With no... What? Smurf? Nerf is good enough. What's a Nerf? Oh, I know what a Nerf is. No, no. A Nerf is the mixture between a Smurf and a nerd. That's a Nerf. But they're not blue, are they? Smurfs? Smurf? Oh, you don't know all about that. Hey, think about raising 10 kids for just a minute. No, seriously. Talk about review. All right, you raise one, David. Right? Grown child. Now you got to go through the same thing with the next one, Erica. Then you got to go through the next one with Erica. And now he's got one on the way. He's going to start all over again. No, stop that. Don't touch that. Get away from there. David says, I remember that somehow. See, he's heard it now 10 times over. That's why he's so well behaved. It's not David, is it? It's whatever the old one's name. Eric is the oldest. The only boy in the crowd. The one and only. Now you can appreciate, too, what it meant when it says, my only son. We've got girls all around. Don't think about that too long. Some of you didn't get by my phrase or question, think about raising 10 children. I saw 2 people pass out. We like to investigate deep things. And our human spirit hungers for those things. At least it ought to. Your human spirit, if you're a child of God, should be as hungry for doctrine as your stomach is for food when you don't have sufficient food. And listen to me. If it doesn't, something is wrong inside. If you said, for example, let's say you went a week and somebody says, what'd you have to eat today? Well, I haven't eaten in a week. Why? I'm not hungry. What would you conclude? That's odd. Person's emaciating away. They're not on a diet. But they're not hungry. You know, there is a phenomenon that if you don't eat, after a while, you lose that. What a phenomenal parallel. When you became a child of God, you see, as a newborn babe desires, thirsts after, craves the milk of the Word. If you don't, something's wrong with your spiritual condition. There's some of you that can sleep during Bible class. That would be like sitting down to a beautiful meal. Let's say you like crab, lobster, and shrimp. And you get a big lobster tail surrounded by a beautiful crab. And I don't mean snow crab. I'm talking about Alaskan king. Right? With shrimp that weigh about 0.5 pound apiece. And somebody says, dig in. And you say, fine, thank you. And watch this. And you're going, oh, this is so good. And your face falls into it because you fell asleep. I wonder what kind of lover some of you make. That takes a lot of concentration, doesn't it? Isn't that a yearning of the body? It is. Not for you. Yet. That's my way of just shooting a few little barbs at young couples that are planning on getting married. That doesn't mean the desire isn't there. You just simply, as I told my son, he didn't know what I was talking about. How does your soul reflect your life? Is there a hunger for the Word? Do you thirst for the Word like you would? You know, when you come in, you've been working hard all day, and somebody says, how about a nice, cool one? And you go, yeah. And you know how that first one tastes? Huh? You go, ah. That's how doctrine should be in your soul. And that's what the human spirit craves. But, you see, you can turn it off enough times where scar tissue builds and that wall of resistance, and the craving becomes less and less and less, and then you can do without it. And you say, well, what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the witness of the Spirit, becomes less and less and less. Then sometimes he shouts at you, divine discipline. And even that, eventually, less and less and less. no reflection less. And then what happens? The sin unto death. So that's the pattern. Did I get that across to you, that I care for you as a congregation? You know, I'm accused every so often of being unloving and uncaring. I don't know where you ever got that from, whoever it is that suggested that. This is where I give you my care. I'm not going to give you one-on-one. I'm forbidden to do that. In order that we may have permanent knowledge, he continues, of the things which have been graciously given to us under the authority of God, which things, reflection of the church age mystery doctrines, we also teach by categories, not from the source of man's wisdom, but by the teaching from the source of the Holy Spirit, bringing together spiritual truth with spiritual apparatus. That's Operation Z. Spiritual truth at this point, and then converted from there to spiritual apparatus from this side to this side. And we're going to see a little later, this is also called the cardia. And I'm giving you that now because our next subject is going to be the doctrine of the cardia, or as been referred to in Bible schools, the cardia. It's cardia, the reference to the heart. Now, what does the heart mean in Scripture? Right here. There's only one instant that I know of where anyone's heart was heart. And he got an arrow in his heart. And that doesn't mean he got an arrow in his right lobe. He may have. But the likelihood is that the arrow went and it pierced his heart. His physical thumpa-thumpa-thumpa heart, which at that point stopped thumping. Why is this called a heart? Because it deals with the whole operation of the circulatory system of doctrine, how it circulates through the soul, and how it affects other parts of the soul, just like the heart affects other parts of the body. You know, that's your fuel pump, you understand that. Isn't it amazing how the thing works? No batteries. It's going to be awful, you know, if you have a baby, you know, it says the batteries do not come with the baby, you know. And you have to charge this thing up all the time. Okay, what's happening? Oh, my heart's running down. I got to charge it up. Now, some of us feel that way sometimes. It has nothing to do with our hearts, however. It has to do with age. And eventually what happens? Well, your batteries run out. That's why I'm annoyed when I hear of people who died when they were 92 and they have to give the cause. No, they just died of natural causes. Remember, you live long enough, something's going to kill you. There's a bug waiting for you out there somewhere. That's right, it's just waiting. It's saying, too young yet. Got to wait till I get a little bit more feeble, a little more senile. I'll get them. And it will. And you'll die. Like everyone else has been appointed to do so. Remember what it says? And after that, what? The evaluation. That's what this is all about. This wasn't real to me. You think I'd waste my time standing up here week after week, year after, for 25 years? Having nothing better to do? But you see, to me, listen, there's nothing better to do. What is the world's frame of reference? Well, here's a few things you might want to jot down. First, it's philosophical speculation. You notice how people are always sitting around philosophically speculating on what's this and what's that. And they all have some idea, and depending upon who can express it better than the other, he becomes renowned. And if he can write, oh, well then, of course. Like, you want to be a philosopher, okay, which is quite interesting because the Greek word philosophia simply means a lover of wisdom, not your own. And these philosophers always come up with their own ideas, or they reflect on the ideas of somebody else. Psychiatry and psychology fall into the same category. What makes the mind work? You know, Freud, or Freud as he's called by some, Sigmund Freud thought that everything revolved around the incapacitation of one's sexual ability. Of course, history proves that Sigmund Freud was in fact nothing sexually. He was impotent. So why would he make such an emphasis of that in reflecting upon the actions and reactions of man? Well, it's kind of subjective, wouldn't you think? That's like I knew a man once. He was in the ministry. He fell in love with his secretary. He divorced his wife, married his secretary, and now he's divorced. And so he knew that a divorced man is going to have serious problems in the ministry. Firstly, because it occurred after his salvation. Secondly, it occurred as a situation that existed within the local assembly. Okay? So what did he do? He started a clinic for young married divorced couples. That was so obvious. Again, trying to cover up his subjective, natural, human viewpoint error. Couldn't be objective. By the way, he was a great Bible teacher, ended up in a mental institution, finally died. I could tell you stories, by the way. You know those little hairs in the back of your head? They stand up and go clear down to your spinal cord with what's happened to people who have denied doctrinal principles after they'd learned the truth. Remember, it'd be better if they hadn't known it at all than after hearing it to reject it. Listen, we'll stand before God and we'll give an account one day of everything that we were given opportunity to learn and didn't, whether it be our arrogance or whether it be our stupidity, which is another form of arrogance as far as I'm concerned. The second area is living in cosmic one, because the world's frame of reference is a part of cosmic thinking. And if that doesn't help, then the third area would be move into cosmic three. A fourth world frame of reference comes from one's own IQ. But you see, the problem there is that human IQ is not a factor in perceiving and applying Bible doctrine, and so you can see where that becomes a serious stumbling block. And some people are very impressed with their natural ability to think. And there's nothing wrong with that. But isn't it ironic that he who thinks so well thinks so sloppy when it comes to accepting the Spirit of God, who is so far superior in thinking that we have to reside and resolve ourselves to think that the best we can do is what we can come up with ourselves? Well, there's a bit of arrogance, is it not? What is the solution, therefore? Our frame of reference should be dependent upon what is resident in our human spirit. And that all comes, by the way, under the general category that we've learned before, receptive comprehension. Receptive comprehension. You cannot receive or comprehend anything that you first do not have a viable frame of reference regarding. The only reason, for example, a child can learn to develop words and make up vocabulary is because in their frame of reference, natural ability, they have A through Z. They've memorized those. Now, for most of us, it would be ludicrous, wouldn't it? You could go around saying, I can recite my alphabet as an adult, right? Well, that's what some of you do in the Christian life. That's where your Christian life is. You're still reciting the alphabet. Then eventually, like I said earlier, they find that letters combine and they have vocal sounds. That's why we teach phonics here. They have phonetical sounds. And children learn to read and speak properly as a result of putting together the sound with the letter, and then the letter with words, and then they can come up with an intelligible sound. And obviously, I learned how to do that from Greek to English. At one point in my life, I knew no English at all. And then what did I learn? New York English. Boy, that helped. The only people that could understand me were other New Yorkers or people from New Jersey. Only it wasn't New Jersey, it was New Jersey. And they're worse than New Yorkers. Do you know that even within the five boroughs of New York, there are different dialects? You can actually tell whether a person has come from Queens, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Staten Island, or wherever. What's the other one? Manhattan, of course. Well, Manhattan has their own language. Bronx, Brooklyn especially, they say Earl. That's oil. Oh, my truck needs some Earl. Oh, right across the bridge. In Queens, we say oil. But we say Goyles. Used to. So I had to learn English properly so that I could communicate. There they drop all their R's. If a word ends with R, it's A. If the word ends with A, it's ER. How do you like that one? Fidel Castro is where? He's in Cuba. That's right. Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. I had a deacon that used to do that. He probably still does. He got offended because I told him it was Isaiah. And my name was not Milah. And I wasn't Pastor. That's what they call me, Pastor Milah. It sounded like pasta. Now that's all right. Didn't like the innuendo. But see, the same thing in the Christian life. You learned A, then you learned Z. Now you're learning Z. Gotcha. So end of the reading. We'll see you tomorrow night. Let's pray you're dismissed. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your goodness, your mercy. The challenge that we receive every time we search thy word and again see not only our shortcomings, but oftentimes our failures. And yet there are solutions that's always found in and through the power of thy Spirit. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. See you tomorrow.